Chief UN Weapons Inspector Hans Blix is demanding that Iraq destroy its Al-Samud II missiles. A letter from Blix to Baghdad says the missiles exceed United Nations limitations. As inspectors put more pressure on Iraq, American and British diplomats are trying to build support in the Security Council for military action to disarm Saddam Hussein. They are fine-tuning a new resolution to submit early next week. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
British diplomats wanted the new resolution to set out deadlines and benchmarks for Saddam Hussein to meet. They hoped that would convince wary council members that Iraq is not disarming. But an official with the British mission to the UN today admitted privately that adding new tests would only draw out an already rancorous debate. So instead, the U.S. ambassador to the UN, John Negroponte, is drafting a straightforward and short resolution, hoping to limit negotiations.
As far as we're concerned, needs to point out that Iraq is not in compliance with its obligations under Resolution 1441 and is therefore responsible for any consequences which may follow from that fact.
U.S. officials argue the resolution doesn't have to explicitly authorize the use of force. British Foreign Minister Jack Straw, in a speech in London today, made clear Resolution 1441 already calls for serious consequences, the diplomatic way of saying war.
Diplomatic parlance is notoriously ambiguous, but in this case, the terminology had only one meaning: disarmament by force.
By keeping the language of a new resolution simple, the U.S. and U.K. hope to be able to win over the 9 votes needed on the Security Council and make it harder for permanent members to veto it. In an interview with NPR, Ambassador Negroponte acknowledged he faces a divided council.
There's been a number of countries that have been critical of what they see as preparations for the possible use of force. On the other hand, I haven't heard anybody arguing seriously that Iraq is in compliance with its obligations under Resolution 1441.
Council members that are on the fence are already feeling the heat from the U.S., according to David Malone, who runs the International Peace Academy, a think tank that works closely with the U.N.
All of the ambassadors I've spoken to, and I had dinner with about 6 of them the other night, are very much feeling the pressure. They're also very apprehensive.
Apprehensive that France may use its veto power to block a new resolution on Iraq and leave the Security Council fractured. Malone, a former Canadian ambassador, says France remains the wild card.
The question is whether President Chirac has painted himself into a corner vis-a-vis his public opinion and whether he's willing to pay the consequences of a veto. Russia and China both have very good reasons to want to retain the better relations they've established with President Bush, and so they will not take the initiative to veto.
U.S. and British officials say they'll risk a French veto. Ambassador Negroponte also says the U.S. will give council members what he describes as a reasonable amount of time for diplomatic give and take on a new resolution.
It took us 7 weeks to negotiate Resolution 1441. I just can't imagine, under any circumstances whatsoever, allowing that much time to negotiate this much more straightforward resolution.
A vote is not likely for another week or two. In the meantime, Security Council members are waiting to hear again from the Chief UN Weapons Inspector Hans Blix, whose previous report left most of the 15 members calling for more time for inspections to continue. In a sign that time is short, the UN has given its humanitarian workers in Iraq the chance to leave, an offer many have already accepted. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.